Hi, everybody, and welcome back to another Hard Truth with myself, David Vance, and Alana Mercer. Hello, Alana.
Hello, David. Lovely to see you.
Lovely to see you as well. As ever is the case, Alana, the week flies by from one of these to the other, and so much to talk about. But before we get into it, it's just a gentle reminder to everyone who's watching this, if you can hit the subscribe button so that you get notifications of all this kind of stuff. And that really helps us. So if you can hit subscribe on Rumble in particular, we want to get those numbers increasing as we strive for global dominance. So if you can do that, folks, if you do that, that would be great. And if you want to drop us comments, both Alana and myself, very happy to respond to you guys. Isn't that right, Alana?
Absolutely. We love responding to all your comments, and we'll do that on the thread below.
Exactly. Yeah. So, okay. So that being said, Alana, that's the preliminaries out of the way. So to start off with, I have to tell you, I confess to you that I have a degree of anger in me this week at what we've talked about many times now, actually, in Hard Truth, deep tech, the tyranny of Silicon Valley. And it manifested itself today with me. As you know, I was banned from Twitter for being outrageous, for daring to challenge any narrative that Twitter decides. So that was fine. That was okay.
Yeah, but you still had some alternative outlets on Twitter, right?
Well, I hadn't, because I was removed as a persona non grata.
How do they do that? Do they remove a person or an account?
Yeah. They remove the person. So in other words, Alana, once they remove you, say that they removed you tomorrow, then if you come back as in any way linked with Alana Mercer, you could just call yourself Alana or whatever, they will remove you. You are depersoned. It's sheer Orwellian.
This is new, David, and I find this absolutely sickening. So what you're saying is it's not really only the material that you posted under David Vance. No. It is you, David Vance, in any permutation that the Twitter overlords want to cancel.
They want to cancel the entire human being. And why I'm a little annoyed, I don't want to take too much of a podcast, but independently of me, I have a platform called altnewsmedia.net. Search it out. Links below. And we've had that for several years. It's owned by me and a colleague, but the Twitter account for that platform is not connected to me in any way. I don't tweet on it. It's nothing to do with me. It just happens to have that name on it. So came the news this morning that Twitter had suspended that account, along with many other conservative accounts, I believe, overnight. As you know, Twitter have got a new woke, even more woke chief now that Dorsey's gone off to find his inner self. And so it is that...
void that is his inner self.
That is his soul, Alana. The void, the black void of his soul. And so it is that we have this continued tyranny coming from Silicon Valley against, I guess, any of us. Potentially, folks, anybody.
Well, this is new to me. I did not know that they cancel the person, and that there is no upheaval. And people seem to think that as a libertarian, my hands are shackled, my mouth has to be sealed. But I've actually proposed many libertarian solutions, and among them is legislation. We have a civil rights law. You can't just cancel out people because you don't like their faith, their skin color, their sexual orientation, or what they say. It's called free speech. And so I found this appalling. I thought that you could reappear or reinvent yourself in softer ways, but you're telling me no. David Vance must be disappeared. Which is very much like someone else that we are going to discuss, like Assange.
Yeah, and it, essentially, Alana, and this actually cuts to the heart of Hard Truth, because we wanted to talk about things and think about things. And what deep tech what Silicon Valley, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Taliban Tube, as you rightly call them, what they want to do is they don't want to just stop you talking. They want to stop you thinking the things that they don't want. So it honestly, it's worse than anything Orwell thought of or Huxley or any of the other visionaries from long time ago. And it's been enabled by technology. It's a sort of techno tyranny that we are living in. But anyway, so that's been my big gripe, and I feel bad for those independent journalists who work on the Alt News Media Twitter account, which aren't me, who have just suddenly discovered they are gone as well. Well, that account's gone. So
it's guilt by association, basically.
Yeah.
They've been cancelled because of even a tangential connection with David Vance. And that is truly sickening. And the inertia of our side against this tech tyranny, because alt media is also a hub for your business.
Yeah, alt news media is an important. Now, the good thing is altnewsmedia.net continues. It is not taken down. It's simply the Twitter dimension to it. But you know, it is the fact that they do, as you say, Alana, sort of with any kind of tangential proximity, boom, you're just gone. Unless you are a raving, hate-driven leftoid, in which case, oh, it's fine. Oh, please, come and say what you want on Twitter. So anyway, that's Twitter. That said, Alana, as you know, I myself am on just about every platform apart from these ones. So part of me doesn't worry, but the other part of me thinks that this is really dangerous. These huge corporations are doing things to free speech and the right to think and debate that would have been inconceivable even 10 years ago, 5 years ago.
They are kneecapping people and disallowing them to make a living. And that definitely needs further discussion by you and I. We've done deep tech, but we need to go into the possibilities that our side, stateside and in the UK, is just not addressing. But speaking of being cancelled,
yeah.
Tell us why one of your estimable justices has decided that it's safe to abandon the greatest libertarian alive, barely alive, David,
yes,
to the mercies of what you called an Epstein justice system.
Well, that's right. So as you know, the US has been trying so hard to convince the British courts to release Julian Assange for extradition to the States. And for quite a while, the British judiciary seemed to have held off and not allowed that to happen. But unfortunately, I think there's been, especially since the changing of the guard in the UK and in the White House, Alana. We've got a new prime minister, you know, 2 years in the form of Johnson. I don't like to call him Boris Johnson. Johnson suits me better because that makes him seem more human. Johnson in number 10, and obviously you've got Biden in the White House. And so that changing of the administrations, I think, was the bell ringing for Julian Assange being able to stay away from the United States. So it was that a UK judge, just recently there made the determination that on balance and taking into consideration the promises from the US, he felt it was therefore appropriate to allow Julian Assange to be extradited. The guy actually had a heart incident of some sort in the prison. I mean, he's an amazing prisoner.
You can imagine the terror
yeah.
he must have felt at that judgment if he had a stroke in court as it was being read. And I have to ask, and I think this question seems quite surprising to my readers sometimes. I think they're used to me and my criticism of Empire, but if America is so free and fair, why is Assange, who's innocent in natural law, absolutely terrified of being extradited to the United States? And David, similarly, other heroes of Liberty, Glenn Greenwald, who gave cover or at least exposed Edward Snowden's treasure trove of violations of the Fourth Amendment against all Americans, all trillions of our communications being accessed daily. Why is he taking safe haven in Russia? And Glenn Greenwald, a prominent journalist who's responsible for facilitating these information dumps, at least via Snowden, he resides in Brazil. Tell me why, if we are so free.
Well, look, the key word there is if, isn't it? Because the truth is that we're not. And Julian Assange was obviously, and who can blame Milana? No one can blame him for deep alarm as to what his fate will be should he go to the land of the free. Because, I mean, I think it was mentioned in dispatches around the time of the judgment. He's perfectly aware of what happened to Brian Epstein, you know, and things happen to those that the state does not approve of, and they certainly don't approve of Julian Assange. So I don't think anything would happen to Julian Assange, to be fair, in a British prison. I don't think don't.
He has been shoddily treated, but I think he has more to fear from an American prison. Certainly.
So let me put the question to you then, Alana, because it is such a good point. You know, so why would this, as you say, this great libertarian be so scared of return to the United States? Why would that be?
Well, he knows a lot more, and we should have paid attention. Trump, let's not exonerate Donald Trump, who benefited from WikiLeaks data dumps and did nothing and used to say on the rally, on the trail, on the campaign trail, used to say WikiLeaks is wonderful, who did nothing for this gentleman who, our first amendment jurisprudence is very clear. He did nothing wrong, Assange. I've just got the list of the things that he had exposed. He exposed the workings of business and government alike, Republican and Democrat, from Facebook, Google, Yahoo, the built-in interfaces these companies have with U.S. intelligence, the NSA, the clandestine wheeling and dealing of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which you would know. Those are global players who play us all, as well as the neoconservative, neoliberal war crimes in Iraq and Afghanistan. And he did that with the faith that his journalistic rights were intact, David.
That's right. Essentially, he's been convicted of being a journalist. That's what he's been convicted of. And you're right. And in a sense, going back to Trump, because that's, again, these are the hard truths that some don't want to hear, but we have to put them out there. Trump failed miserably, in my view, to protect Assange. Assange was the guy who exposed the swamp. And Trump obviously understood the swamp, and fair enough. But had it not been for Assange, so much of this would have remained in the shadows. So Assange brought it into the light. And what did Trump do? He did nothing. He took advantage of it. I mean, it's like typical politician.
He did nothing for the man. Exactly.
So I think Assange obviously fears for his life. And in my opinion, so would I were I in his shoes, because things happen. Unfortunately, that's the wickedness of the state alone.
Well, the man is already weakened. As strong as his spirit was, he's weakened mentally and he's weakened physically. He was a young man when he went in, in his mid-40s, and now he's weakened from atrophied. His limbs are atrophied, his mind is going. No wonder that in the merciless way he's been held. I wish he had absconded to Russia.
Yeah, he would have been safer there. Yeah, much safer in Russia. Exactly. And therein lies one of the huge ironies, you know, that the nation states, and in particular the U.S. state, it's becoming something, or maybe it always was, Alana, maybe that's the truth of it. It's something very dark, predatory, and potentially lethal for those who dare to show and to shed light in terms of how it's operate, which Assange did. I mean, he obviously released all those documents, they just let us ordinary people see the things that go on, the connections that there are, the corruption, the power mania of all those things. So this was a very depressing. I have to say, as a Brit, I was very saddened by the.
I didn't think it would happen, but and the coverage, the media has been complicit. Tucker did his due diligence and expressed sympathy to Assange's brother that he fears for his life. I didn't feel the emotion that I feel when I look at Assange and his absolute heroism. And I just wonder, Tucker entertains Glenn Greenwald, who's a great journalist. Why has it never come up? Why do you live abroad? And it was very clear when he was, you know, he wrote for the British Guardian, and he actually, Edward Snowden went to the Washington Post first, and the Washington Post wouldn't publish the NSA PRISM. It was called the PRISM program. It was the NSA was so devious, it had one PowerPoint slides that it presented to the public what this PRISM program was, and the real thing is what Edward Snowden said. Look, I'm the behind the guy scenes guy. I either expose this thing or not. I have to man up. There comes a time when a man has to step up, right? And he did it at the tender age of not yet 30. So he approached the Washington Post. The Washington hot-footed it to Barack Obama to consult with Barack Obama. Could they do it or could they not? And his next stop was with Glenn Greenwald at the British Guardian. And the Guardian, England, you broke the story, not the land of the free, David.
No, which is very, very telling, Alana. Very telling. But I would contend that the situation with Assange and with Snowden, it actually applies to fundamentally anybody in the West who exposes the things that they don't want to see. That's when the accidents happen. That's when, and one doesn't have to be a conspiracy theorist to understand this. And that's why, actually, to be quite honest, I'll just come out and say it. The state is our enemy.
The state is our enemy. Murray Rothbard said that, and we reiterate that. We stand on his shoulders. The state is our enemy. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. The state, the various interest groups, we have the COVID cartel that has locked us down for eternity. But back to this, you know, I'm still fascinated with the data that we've come to live with the infractions that came on the heels of burying Snowden in America. Nobody discussed Snowden. People don't delve into the material that Assange actually revealed about the absolute atrocities of the wars, etc. And we've come to live with a violation of our Bill of Rights. I mean, the Fourth Amendment specifies that warrants shall issue upon probable cause supported by oath or affirmation via the courts, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Now we regularly have the January 6th Commission. Oh, suddenly Sean Hannity's texts are all over the place. You know, and we've just come to live with that. Absolutely contradicting our Constitution and Bill of Rights. The thing we worry about is China.
That's the big problem, Alana. China. We have not. Don't worry. There's an old technique. I must tell you this. It's a tried and tested political technique, and it's this. Look at this hand. All the time. Look at this hand. Don't worry about this hand. Look at this hand. And that's exactly what I dare to suggest to you. What China is so much of the stuff we've talked. We're going to talk about China now, isn't it? Because
China, it's the meddler mindset. And people come to me to try and learn. And a lot of people learn quickly. And some other people are just stuck in the meddler mindset. And they call themselves libertarians. And in fact, a very interesting Twitter interlocutor spun off from Assange and said, oh, it's all fine and well. These three journalists, only these three journalists, not all of us have been treated unfairly, but we're not talking loud enough about China.
Yeah.
Yes, that from a self-described libertarian, to which I said, who the hell cares about China? They're a sovereign people. Let them fight for their own rights. And in fact, there was the most awful segment ever, I think, on Tucker Carlson. A gentleman, I don't know if you know, he's a Turkish basketball player. His name is Enes Kanter. I call him Enes Kanter. And he changed his name to Enes Kanter Freedom. And the reason was he's now an American citizen. His citizenship ceremony was filmed because he's famous and makes lots of money. And you know what he can do now? He can protest speech in China. And he was on Tucker Carlson to express himself as a global citizen with a meddler mindset, not an American who cares about the January 6th prisoners who are being denied their due process, conservatives who are being hounded, Kyle Rittenhouse, who was held in appalling circumstances. Nothing like that. He has become an American in order to gripe about China. What do you think about that concept, how they've conditioned us to the meddler, neoliberal, neoconservative mindset, as well as the idea of a global citizen? You become an American so you can speak up about Taiwan and China.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's classic big state deflectionalism, as far as I can see. I mean, as I've said to you, my view on China, I mean, I've got lots of different views on China, but the one thing, I don't wake up in the morning worrying about China in terms of what China's doing in China. Sovereign state, as you say, Alana, and to be quite honest, let China get on with whatever China does. If China interferes in terms of our internal affairs, that's different. Then we deal with China. But China's way over there. And if its tendrils spread over here, we can chop them off internally. But to be getting ourselves involved in these things, and especially for people who consider themselves libertarians to do that, it's sort of contemptible, really, because it's like they've completely missed the point of what they are.
Yes. And you've actually, got to think of that. It was quite funny. The same gentleman who actually spawned a very interesting conversation, because we wouldn't be discussing this if they weren't challenging me as a libertarian. And so he said, well, from that viewpoint as a libertarian, the French should not have come to our aid in the American Revolution, and neither should we have joined World War One or Two, and those are debates. And of course there is the issue of the proper use of aggression in libertarian theory, and you are a very instinctual libertarian, David. I hate to inform you. You are a gut-level libertarian. There's just war theory that comes to us from old teachings, Catholic teachings. But the ultimate snarky response that I would give to this gentleman, what about the French? You would forbid them from coming to our aid according to this theory of yours. And I would just say, well, why would an American like me worry about what the French do? It's their business, right?
And that's
the consumer libertarian sentiment is the non-meddler. Do your thing and we will do a thing. But I do want to ask you, David, I guess before we have to wrap up, I know you're a tough taskmaster. I don't see China able to extradite people worldwide. Have you given that thought?
Isn't that interesting?
Fascinating.
Yeah, they can't do that, but America can do that. It's not a problem.
They're spying through Huawei. They're spying through Huawei. Trump banned Huawei. We can do, as you said, we could chop off the tendrils and the tentacles. But is there anywhere a place? Why does the U.S. have extra jurisdiction over a foreign entity and a foreign subject like Assange? And why is it capable of demanding extradition worldwide? Are we not nation states any longer? And why can't China do that if it's so scary?
Well, if you consider with China, I mean, even when China tries to extradite people from Hong Kong, which is now part of Chinese territory, given up by the Brits back in 99 or whenever it was. I mean, there was some own mass protests against that there. And essentially, the Chinese were seeking extradition within what we would recognize internationally as the Chinese borders. Well, you know, I mean, that's like saying, oh, we can't extradite someone from Hawaii to mainland US.
Yes. Can China extradite someone from England? And England ponderously says, I think they'll be safe. I mean, but America does that. Under the guise that we are a just force in the world, right? We are a democracy. We are a democracy.
Yes. We're such a just force that people like Julian Assange has nightmares about being under that just force. And he's not the one. I meant to say to you earlier, of course, Assange isn't the only one. I can tell you from a British perspective, Alana, and again, this is worth sharing. From a British perspective, there have been other instances of Brits who have been sought by the American authorities. Over the last, I'd say, 20 years, I can think of different instances. And the common theme is they've all been scared senseless of going there. And that should raise alarm bells all over the place because, you know, what it does speak not so much about Britain, it does speak about the US. That people here, and this is long before Epstein and all the rest of it, what they think about the justice system in the US.
Very uneven. Also, the managerial state is formidable. In fact, we have the largest state. We mock Europe, we mock England, but we have the largest bureaucratic managerial state in the world. I will bring this, I'm putting this out there, and it's going to be a controversial statement, but I do have the data to back it up. The U.S. has the largest managerial state, the most organized and the most detrimental to its subjects' welfare.
But how did it ever get like that? How did the U.S. become this thing?
That's for another show.
Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah, we won't do that one just now. But it does make you think. It does make you think how a state that is not, you know, nowhere near as old as the UK has gotten into this kind of mess.
Fascinating because you would watch Canada's only trailed US in the worst of its legislation. It's you know, it didn't have a taxation agency until the U.S. had. So then the Canadians copied that. And the same with the SEC, the securities bureaucracy. And it was always interesting to me before we were confronted with these existential problems that make securities crimes which I don't consider crimes, of course. Information socialism. You can't have information before someone else. But before those crimes became looked so petty compared to what we're confronting, corona, loss of identity, immigration, and so on, I would always follow the sentencing in Canada as opposed to securities and exchange. I mean, Conrad Black was extradited here and sat in jail. He would not have sat in jail for the same mail fraud or whatever they managed to pin on him in Canada. Doesn't happen.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely.
The state is so much more malevolent and efficient and ruthless.
And that's why I think, and again, those words you've just said perfectly explain to me why it is that as we speak now in December 2021, we see tyrannies emerging across the world But it's the state. It's these various states, you know, New Zealand, Australia, we've talked about them, Alana, Italy, Austria, Germany, across the world. And it's the same tyranny emerging from this managerial class who I think despise the peoples, the individual peoples within those states. And it's just the COVID-19, to my mind, has just been a convenient thing that enables them to go so much further than they would ever have gone, you know, up until this point.
Absolutely, my friend, agreed. Yep.
Yeah, so
on that sad note.
On that, yeah. Please, everybody, don't be too depressed. Don't be depressed. But you know, we're going to wrap this one up. But the point of this channel, this is to say the things that will probably get me banned on other platforms. But things that need to be said, Alana, truths. We call this hard truth.
Yes, but David, moreover, even more important and to the point is to convince people that your truth, David Vance, and Alana Mercer's truth is the truth to come to, yeah?
Absolutely.
And it's not our truth vaguely floating in the air, it's our truth.
It's real, it's solid, and you can get it here.
Objective, immutably true.
Yeah, and there, yeah, exactly. That's the point. The truth is the truth. There, it may offend some people, but I don't care. It's tough. It's what it is. And you get it here, folks, when you join Alana and myself every week. So, look, thank you, Alana, as always, for your time. Thanks to everyone for listening. Do drop a comment. Alana and I will definitely respond to you. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you follow us on Hard Truth. And we will be back with you again this time next week, hopefully. Thank you, everybody. And
bye, guys.
Good night.
Bye, David.